Makeshift Stories presents Somewhere, Sometime, an irregular series of short sci-fi and fantasy stories.
It starts on a lonely road or a remote stretch of beach. Another peaceful night, but there is much more than just a cool, still air laying in wait. It might begin with an odd light in the sky or a strange noise, and then it seems over in an instant. But hours have passed, and you have no recollection of what has just happened, or so the typical alien abduction story might go. In this month's episode, a late-night walk leads to a very unusual place. We now invite you to sit back and relax as you listen to Makeshift Stories 57, Blackout. Somewhere in some time, probability and the laws of chance might be stacked against you.
B5. Once again, under the B5.
The patient, calm, almost robotic-like voice repeated over the constant din. It seemed to Calla like it had only been a few minutes since she and her friends had walked the moonlit shores on the famous white sands of the Grand Ursa Beach Resort. It was supposed to have been a vacation of a lifetime, two full phases on the exclusive holiday moon. The online ads had featured happy swarms leisurely skittering in the surf, their hard-shelled legs kicking up cool, salty sprays of tepid water. Calla had worked hard for this trip, taking on extra shifts and skipping off cycles whenever she could. And yes, she had read the odd sensational story on the tabloid nets, although no one like her ever admitted that they browsed such lurid news sites. But secretly, she liked them. The tab stories made great campy conversations in the wee hours of the endless stream of parties that spontaneously occurred at the resort. Calla remembered how she had laughed, making fun of the absurd people in the tales. There was no life anywhere else in the universe. Everyone knew that, at least anyone who is a rational person. So the claims of alien abductions were at best pathetic attempts to grab a moment of notoriety, she had cynically reasoned. But now, Calla wasn't so sure. The dream she appeared to be captive to was starting to change her mind. Calla knew if there was anything that could disprove current scientific doctrine on alien life, this dreamlike place was definitely it. After one particularly late-night party, Calla's memory of it was still a bit jumbled. She vaguely recalled everyone trying to spook each other out with weird, gruesome alien encounter stories. Sometime later, she had found herself leisurely walking along a moonlit beach, its sand still radiating up the heat of the day through her feet, daring something to happen when she heard a high-pitched noise. The gentle lapping of the ocean had suddenly stopped, and the water went glassy smooth, like a frozen sea on Ursa's sister moon. There had been a brilliant flash of light, the mumbling of indiscernible voices, the eerie sensation of floating, disorientation, then waking up in a persistent dream, here, where or whatever here was. Calla looked around the dense smoky atmosphere. Nondescript tables bled off in every direction, each occupied with the most weird and unimaginable creatures Calla had ever seen. Some appeared to be hairless mammals, while others vaguely resembled birds, fish, reptiles, and other forms that Calla couldn't even begin to guess at. But all seemed transfixed by the small gridded screens filled with numbers that littered their simple, plain-looking tables. Waiting, watching intently, and periodically poking with fingers, talons, claws, or pointed protuberances in loose sync with the calm voice that called out random letters and numbers.
N33, under the N33,
it pronounced, and many in the room poked a screen or two in response. The odd thing was that, like a cheap sci-fi vidcast, it was all being done in Calla's language. Even she knew how ludicrously remote the possibility of that was. So naturally, she assumed it was a very real and very long dream. However, when Calla tried to pinch herself to wake up, her senses kept insisting that she wasn't asleep. From the corner of her rear eye, she noticed that a two-legged, bilaterally symmetrical, hairless mammal thing was rapidly approaching. The creature wore a vest with the word "cellar" emblazoned in bold white letters across what she suspected was a shellless chest. It wobbled up to her table and stopped, impatiently tapping one foot on the dark, littered floor. Calla instinctively tried to push her head down into her carapace. Growing up, she'd found mammals kind of icky. A friend of hers had kept one as a pet, and it always made her draw back when the thing tried to brush its disgustingly furry side up against the hard, clean shell of her legs. Afterwards, she would find strands of hair everywhere, even in her bedclothes. But looking more closely now, Calla decided that the creature looked like a cross between a slug and a mammal, which only served to increase her sense of its ugliness. As if to reinforce her revulsion, the smell of its pheromones made her almost sick.
"Well, what will it be?"
the thing snapped. Calla looked up at it through her rear eye, then turned to face it.
"I don't understand." "No one ever does, darling. All you need to do is play,"
it spat out.
"Play what?"
Calla was beginning to lose what little patience she had.
"Look around, insect. I'm busy. I've got more than you to deal with. So, how many do you want?"
Calla shrugged, which seemed to cause the rude creature to pull 8 thin screens out of one of the pockets sewn into its apron. It threw them indignantly onto the table. Calla was about to ask what they were for, when the smelly thing suddenly turned and strode off toward an aquatic creature holding one tentacle up out of its water tank. As it left, the mammalian slug called back.
"Oh, just ask your neighbor at the end of this game."
Then hurried off as fast as its spindly legs would take it. Calla was amazed that it didn't fall over.
"Two legs, how absurd,"
she muttered, then turned to the pile of screens on her table. Another number was called out over the low but constant din.
G-51. Under the G, 5-1.
The unenthusiastic voice announced. A square around the number 51 on one of the small screens flashed. Then suddenly, the talon of the bird-like being at the next table shot over like a lightning bolt, touching the highlighted number. Instinctively, Calla tried to jump back from the table.
"Sorry, it's just ingrained in me now."
The avian's beak snapped in sync to the words. Uncomprehending, Calla stared back.
"I hear, I daub. I don't even think about it anymore."
Another number was called, and the strange alien quickly jabbed at 3 of her little screens.
"Don't worry, you've got nothing there. I already checked."
Calla stared at her screens, still mystified by what was going on.
"All the noobs, I mean new ones,"
the avian quickly corrected,
"react the same. It always takes a while to catch on."
N-45. That's N-45.
The number seemed to filter through the stale air of the hall. Then she noticed a square this time on a different screen flash, and Calla tentatively touched its surface with a foreleg.
"Now you're getting it. Just keep going,"
the bird encouraged.
"But what am I getting? And where am I supposed to go?"
Calla complained.
"Oh, I forgot. They dropped you down in mid-game. One row in any direction. Try and get one."
The bird went back to studying its screens.
"What happened to the last person who sat here?"
Calla suspiciously asked.
"Well, he won, of course. And that's the point. You're supposed to try and win. Then they call themselves the Terrans, or something like that. They take you away. We don't know what happens to—"
she waggled 2 feathered arms in the air, making a set of virtual quotation marks—
"the winners. But they don't come back."
Calla was skeptical.
"And isn't that good?" "Well, you're new. So let me tell you, it depends how you look at it."
At that moment, Calla noticed a tray of questionable-looking sausages float by, causing her to remember a horror story she'd once read. Half-jokingly, she replied,
"Well, surely they're not taking them off to be eaten or something." The bird pondered. "Never thought of that. Might explain a few things, though. But then—"
The creature suddenly daubed at several screens arranged in a precise grid across her table.
"Sorry about that. You need to anticipate the numbers. It takes a special type of concentration. You have to unfocus your mind so the present flows over you. Then you can feel the potential number at the edge of your consciousness and daub. Rendellian, I seem to remember that was the name of the player before you. He had it down to an art. But the odds, if you are a player long enough, are against you. You'll eventually find a pattern, then be taken away."
"Rendellian won? And they took him? Where?"
Calla tentatively questioned.
Like I said, who knows?
The bird distractedly chirped.
None have ever come back. At least while you daub, you're alive. And for the most part, not treated too badly. Anything you want, all you can eat, as long as you don't stop playing.
Its beak motioned to a silver tray laden with brightly colored packages of what could have been food, float quietly by, then settle on the table of a hybrid reptilian flower several places down the row.
Anything you want, the bird repeated. Just touch the icon on the top corner of your table.
G-51. That's G-51.
The voice floated ubiquitously around the immense hall.
My name is
The bird creature almost whistled, then rapidly daubed at its screens.
Now, you need to play,
it added,
or the game master will notice.
Calla turned back to her table, vainly trying to poke at several squares that briefly flashed. Frustrated, she leaned back into her chair, throwing two forelegs into the air in exasperation.
We have a winner, players,
the omnipresent male voice called.
Please wait while the runner confirms the screen number.
A flustered-looking mammal rushed up behind Calla, scanned her screens, then impatiently shook its head, bent over, and whispered into Calla's ear in a menacing tone.
You, don't hold up two appendages again until you have a pattern match on one of your screens. You need to listen to the caller. If you're having trouble hearing the numbers, then use the hollow.
The smelly thing rudely leaned over Calla, and with one of the five short extensions at the end of its thin arm, touched a pulsing icon on the tabletop. Instantly, a three-dimensional image of another two-legged mammal standing beside a clear plastic box filled with numbered bouncing balls materialized in the space above the table. The box reminded Calla of some barely remembered physics diagram she had seen in college. She sat, mesmerized, watching the human, she assumed was a caller, open the little slot that allowed one ball to pop out. The ball instantly filled the entire floating illusion as the caller spoke.
G-60. I repeat, under the G-60.
The mammal standing behind Calla impatiently daubed at one of her screens.
Just don't sit there. Play.
It demanded.
That's what you were brought here for. There's more than you can imagine depending on you. Now play.
It angrily pointed to the small screens haphazardly scattered across Calla's table.
And if you don't know the rules, ask a game master. What part of the galaxy did they dig the likes of you up from anyway?
Calla was about to answer when it rudely cut her off.
I can't believe they expect us to keep this going.
It waved its fleshy arms around.
How are we supposed to hold the entire thing, the entire universe together, with players like you, who don't even know the first thing about playing the game? No wonder our stats are off. Jenny, who's in charge of player acquisition this month? I've got words for them.
It screamed into a small device strapped to one arm, then sprinted off, continuing to talk.
We need a game master at table 2114 for orientation. Quick, and don't tell me they're all on break.
Stunned, Calla watched, unsure of what to do, as several more ghostly numbered balls popped into the hollow over her desk. In response, a few seemingly random squares glowed on her screens.
What should I do?
Calla exclaimed to herself, not expecting an answer.
Play, insect. You must play. Everything you know and care about might be at stake. We were already losing the probability threads before you arrived.
The deep, scratchy voice made Calla jump. It was coming from a rather portly-looking bipedal animal, whose protruding stomach made Calla think that the thing must have recently eaten her table's last unfortunate occupant. She stiffened as it came near, wafting clouds of nauseous pheromones past Calla's noses, making her almost gag. It gave a heavy sigh.
Another player that acquisition didn't prepare properly. You're my 10th this shift. It's hard enough keeping everything in balance without, well, anyway.
It trailed off.
Of course you wouldn't know about that. How could you?
Calla shrugged.
You weren't oriented. I bet acquisition got behind again and just decided to drop you in, then crossed their lazy little fingers hoping you would figure it out on your own. Well, some do and some don't. But in your case, it's not good. Not good in the least.
The puffy thing stood sweating for a second, then pulled a chair out of thin air and sat down beside Calla.
Well, this game is a loss already. That will totally mess things up. We might even lose sync with the zero-point field again. You know how mad that makes me.
Callet instinctively cowered in her chair. It paused, focusing its two beady eyes on her.
Of course you wouldn't. You're new. Sorry, I just get so angry at incompetence. Sometimes the staff acts as if this were just a silly game. Lucky for acquisition, this time we had a safety margin built up. It's not good, though. It's not good at all.
Calla noticed that the words Game Master were printed in two rows, one word on each, across the creature's big heaving chest. It examined her neglected screens in disgust, then pointed to the hollow still floating above Calla's table.
You must start. You see those?
The Game Master waggled one of its five pudgy extensions.
Those little spheres, they're not just numbered balls. They're the product of centuries of refinement in scientific visualization. They are analogs of probabilities over vast distances in time and space. There are as many balls as players, if you haven't noticed already. And each of you is selected for your entanglement to one and only one of those bouncing collections of probabilities.
Calla silently stared.
Oh, management always complains about that. Claim I dive in too deep, too soon. Mix up the uninitiated and that sort of thing. You are still confused, right?
Calla nodded.
Okay, forget what I just said. Let's see, the game rules. That's all you need to know. The caller, that's the guy in the hollow. Listen to him at the start of the game. He'll tell you the pattern you are looking for. Like a line in a certain direction, or a blackout, which means covering all the squares on one of your screens. It changes from game to game. You just need to listen. Then when he pulls a number from the clear plastic box and calls it like he's doing now, you look and daub with whatever you've got to daub with on any screen that's got that number and letter combo. Got it? Simple, huh?
But,
Calla began.
Is that it? How does the game end?
Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Someone either gets the pattern or we run out of balls.
Then what happens?
Heck, come on, use your imagination. We play again, of course.
Does it ever...
end?
The Game Master cut in, then laughed.
Huh, you all ask that. But it's obvious, isn't it? It ends when time ends. And if you don't start playing soon, that might be sooner than it needs to be.
That's not an answer,
Calla protested.
But if you win,
she cautiously continued,
you get replaced, don't you?
The Game Master formed its fleshy lips into a sinister smile, but said nothing.
Then what?
Calla demanded.
Look, I've told you all you need to know. Now play.
The Game Master grumbled.
You can never tell what really depends on the outcome of a game.
And if I refuse to play?
Well, you get removed. Simple, right? Now play. We could be missing something important even now.
But what happens if you are removed?
Calla stubbornly persisted. The Game Master's pudgy cheeks grew red with frustration.
How should I know? I'm a Game Master. That's not my job. I'm not in player resources. That's PR's business, not mine. And if you don't play, well, we'll need two, three, maybe four of your kind to replace you to capture the probabilities you've lost and get things back on the right track. Think about how you got here. Do you want your friends to go through that too? Now play. Or who knows? We won't be able to predict and prevent what could happen in your neck of the universe. A missed pattern could mean an asteroid gets knocked out of its orbit. And that's all it takes to start something, you know. It's like a game of pool once the ball starts rolling. Well, I don't suppose you know that game either.
With another large sigh, the Game Master dismissed Calla and waddled away, barely managing to squeeze its generous girth between the rows of tables.
Bingo. Sounds like we have a bingo over there in the far corner,
the caller smoothly announced. Calla looked around the murky room. She hadn't noticed the thick, greasy clouds of smoke before. More than half the players were spewing it out through short white sticks that seemed to be glued to their nostrils, lips, gills, whatever. Noticing her expression, Wimtaw leaned over.
It calms the nerves, or so I've been told. If you want some, or something else, just ask the next floating tray. Thanks, but no,
Calla scornfully replied.
What's a bingo? Look at the letters across the top of your screens. Oh, it's the name of the game.
Embarrassed, Calla looked away, noticing an insectile somewhat similar to herself, reluctantly waving two front legs in the air. Several hairless bipedal mammals rushed toward the hapless being. What did Wimtaw call them again? Terrans? Kala tried to recall. No matter. The alien monsters converged on the poor insect and escorted the unfortunate thing, struggling to an exit. Almost as soon as they had left, the empty table was enveloped in a brilliant glow. As the afterimage receded, a stunned-looking slug-like being materialized in the vacant seat. Kala was no longer the newest player.
Looks like the screen has been validated. Are there any other bingos out there? Please identify yourselves.
A tense silence filled the hall.
Okay then, next game will be a blackout. An easy one for you new players. Just cover all the squares on any screen. First ball, under the eye, 18. I repeat, eye, 1-8.
Now resigned to her fate, Kala eyed her screens. Three flashed, and she hesitantly daubed. The caller waited a moment, then continued.
Under the G, 69. I repeat, G, 6-9.
Kala had no choice. The game master was glaring at her from the base of the caller's podium. So, like a creature caught in an incomprehensible lab experiment, she daubed. The troll-like alien that Kala knew had been watching her since she had arrived leaned over and croaked in a low tone.
With screens like that, you're not going to be here long. I've seen it before. Some players are just so well tuned to the probabilities that the numbers come fast. Look, there's another, and another.
With a claw, it rudely reached across and daubed Kala's screens. She pushed it away, trying to ignore its comment. She had to admit, both good and bad luck seemed to follow her most of her life. Whenever there was a draw for a door prize, she usually won it. And she rarely lost a coin toss. But ending up here, she decided, was definitely luck of a more sinister kind, and it seemed to continue. In a period of only a few measly minutes, two of her screens were mostly highlighted.
First time this shift, and we are at the last ball without a bingo. Let's hope this one's lucky.
The caller appeared to make some type of motion with his hand over his chest that made Kala think he was invoking a mystical ritual.
I-11. That's under the eye. 1-1.
A tense silence filled the room. Carla's heart stopped as an empty square blinked on a screen with only two squares left open. There would still be one empty, she reminded herself. So with relief, she touched I-11, eager for the game to be over, then slumped back into her seat and said in relief to the bird,
"Well, at least I'll last another game."
Wimtaw looked over, then contorted its beak-like mouth into what Kala took for a pitying smile.
"Well, well, new player, I hate to tell you, but that empty center square is free."
"I don't get it. What does that mean?"
Kala demanded.
"Your screen is covered. You have a blackout. You've won. Beginner's on luck, I guess."
The meaning instantly sunk in, but before Kala could dive under her little table to hide, Wimtaw was waving both her feathery arms and yelling,
"Hey! Over here! The noob's got a bingo!"
"That was a close one," the caller said with visible relief. "We have a bingo over on the left."
Several large Terran mammals rushed toward Kala's table, and she realized that she was trapped. Kala didn't struggle. Even in this hellish, dreamlike alien world, she wanted to keep her dignity. Next time they abducted someone from Ursha, the upright mammalian slugs would have learned respect for her kind, she defiantly determined. With one escorting her on each side, Kala trudged past the endless rows of tables filled with a menagerie of beings from every conceivable corner of the sentient universe to a dark alcove where a small green door was cut into a nearly invisible wall. Warning signs in a multitude of languages suggesting that entry was not a good idea officiously flashed their self-important messages. Noticing Kala hesitate to walk through, one of her escorts whispered in her ear,
"That's just for effect. It's really quite comfy inside, really."
It then proceeded to push her through. And the escort was right. As the small group squeezed through the narrow door, Kala found herself in a spacious, well-appointed room. The air was even free of the dense smoke outside. Her escorts waved her over to a tasteful designer perch with adjustable leg rests. Taken by surprise, Kala let her body ease into the oddly familiar form-fitting chair, luxuriating in its comfort.
Ah, I see we picked right. The chair is from one of your world's most respected designers. It even comes in custom colors to set off your carapace. But I have to apologize. Generally, we have a bit more time to prepare, so we had to take one from the showroom floor. You can't imagine how irritating that is. Probability forecasting is supposed to warn player resources of the odds of something like this happening. Acquisition barely got you on the game floor, and now you're here. And now?
Frustrated, a tall, thin Terran mammal that Kala hadn't noticed before flopped itself into a rather uncomfortable-looking L-shaped piece of furniture.
Well, we did the best we could, you know. Sorry about the color and pattern. It's going to have to do. Well, I suppose you prefer your dinner on a complimentary colored plate.
Kala sarcastically hissed back. Like the Game Master, this Terran's face flushed red.
Oh, no, no, no. We're not going to eat you.
It tried to insist as it curved its lips up in a way that made Kala shudder.
Look, I'm prepared.
Kala spouted, with a false swagger in her voice.
When are you going to send the fat one in to eat me?
The creature seemed taken aback.
Are you referring to the Game Master? We generally don't mention his weight. You see, he's a bit sensitive about that, if you know what I mean. Always on a diet, but doesn't want to admit it, and that sort of thing.
For some unfathomable reason, it briefly winked one eye at her, then quickly talked into a small box attached to its wrist. Kala couldn't make out what it was saying, but didn't like its tone. In anticipation, she gripped the leg rests of her chair, expecting the worst. Noticing her reaction, the Terran frowned.
It's the avian who's got you all worked up, isn't it? She always does that. She's had an unusually long run of bad luck. Hasn't won yet. What's probably not a good choice to begin with. Player acquisition is supposed to go after the lucky ones. Everyone knows they're the most sensitive. What else did she tell you? That the Game Master would eat you if you won? Huh.
It laughed.
She had the last player at your table so scared he couldn't play. We had to take him off the floor so we could send him home, then scramble to fill a seat. A real pain, you know. I can hardly wait until she's gone. Very disruptive. Not good for the game at all.
Kala looked stunned.
You send people home? Well, of course. What else would we do with them? Look, while we're waiting for return and reintegration, let me tell you about our little operation here. You might even understand and want to help.
He chuckled.
Well, at least until reintegration makes you forget everything I'm about to tell you.
He smiled and picked up a tray, pushing it toward her.
Snack while you listen? The script for your culture's level of development makes it a rather riveting story. Well, at least in my opinion.
Kala waved the suspicious tray away. The thin creature put it carefully down on a squat table, then leaned back into its chair.
Okay, let me see. The great game of bingo,
it began,
has been with my people for thousands of generations, but we never really understood its significance until we became a spacefaring race. As we started to explore further into the universe, our scientists noticed something rather odd. The further we got from Earth, Earth is our home planet, the more disorder we found. There's always a bit of that nonsense going on, you know. Comets colliding into stuff, the wrong elements stubbornly showing up like unwanted house guests in the wrong place and time, that sort of thing. It seemed that probability was out of whack and entropy was taking over much faster than our scientists had predicted. Our best minds and artificial intelligences were stumped for generations until about 10,000 years ago, when one of our physicists, in desperate need for funds to continue her research, decided to hold a bingo. As luck would have it, she used an artificial intelligence, a computer that is self-aware, who had been working on her research, as her bingo caller. Then, lo and behold, partway through the fundraiser, well, they are both shocked to realize that the winning number sequences seemed rather better at predicting probability outcomes than a millennium of research had been. Not only that, but playing the game seemed to change the outcome of events for the good. The home worlds of winning players were less likely to get wiped out by some random act of nature. The game was somehow subtly influencing space and time at the quantum level. We still don't really know why. But oddly enough, it only works once for each player. As soon as someone wins, the effect is gone. In our relentless efforts to keep the universe safe, we played with enthusiasm until we ran out of new players. Then, it was only natural that we had to expand the player pool a bit. So we built a bingo hall here in a more populous area of space and cast our player acquisition net very broadly, so to speak. We've got the process down to an art,
And now the game has never stopped for thousands of years. Proof that it works? Well, the proof is that we are all still here.
It grinned in a self-satisfied manner.
I've got to admit, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I must be still dreaming.
Caleb began to say when the door to the room burst open. Interrupted by the sudden intrusion, Caleb's host leaned back into his chair and sighed.
You know, they never give me enough time to fully explain. Oh well,
he apologetically shrugged.
But the players never remember anyway. Looks like return and integration is here for you. Have a nice trip home. And look at it this way. After your stellar win, you're bound to still have one.
Calla snapped awake. The sun beat gently down on her dark carapace. She had fallen asleep, reading a newspaper under a cabana near the beach. The sweet, salty air carried the sounds of young arachnids playing in the rhythmic surf. Calla picked up the paper. She discovered that she had an unexplained aversion to flat screens since the incident, so she had reverted to reading printed material instead of using an e-reader. She scanned through the back pages of the paper, hoping that she wouldn't find it. But there it was, sandwiched between two ads. The headline read, Lost Tourist Found, Wandering Beach in Disoriented State. 2 days ago, authorities found Calla Zardit reported missing from the Grand Ursha Beach Resort, muttering incomprehensible words. Zardit claims not to remember anything from the time she was reported missing to the time authorities found her in an out-of-the-way cove some 20 kilometers from her hotel. This was the 10th such event this season, however police are unwilling to tie the incidents together, saying that it is spring break after all. The authorities declined to elaborate further. Embarrassed, Calla threw the paper down in disgust. At least her story had not made it to the front page like the first abduction had. She hoped that most of her friends would miss it. The requests for interviews from alien-obsessed fringe groups had finally calmed down, and a rather nervous administration at the hotel had offered to extend her stay another 2 cycles if only she would keep quiet about the whole thing. Calla leisurely rolled over to let the sun warm her back. It hadn't been so bad, she reflected. After all, she'd come up with an idea for a new game, involving random rows and columns of numbers arranged under 5 letters. She'd even made a prototype and played it with some of the other hotel guests. It had been a hit. Carla stretched her 6 legs and lazily dreamed about the day when her new game would be played throughout the system.
Thanks for listening to Makeshift Stories 57, Somewhere, Sometime, Blackout. We hope that you enjoyed this month's story. And as always, if you like what we're doing, please tell your friends about us or write a review in iTunes. We'd love to hear from you, so send us an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. The opening and closing theme is Pod Safe Music by David H. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivative License, which means you're free to share our stories, just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.